been blessed in being here as well and looking at the Word of God. Just curious this morning if anyone knows what today is.
Grandparents' Day.
And I thought about maybe having all the grandparents stand. I don't want to embarrass anyone here, but we have a lot of grandparents here this morning. And so I would like to preach a message to the grandparents. And I feel a little bit self-conscious about this because the Bible makes it very clear the older ones are supposed to teach the younger ones. And here I am, a younger one, trying to teach the older ones. But I would just like to bring a message this morning to you as grandparents. Did just a little bit of looking Grandparents' Day. Grandparents' Day actually has its own official flower, the forget-me-not. And in our society today, I thought that was pretty appropriate because older folks generally, could we say, are just somewhat pushed back and forgotten. I've entitled the message this morning, The Crown of Old Men, and I take that title from the book of Proverbs, chapter 17, verse 6. I'd like to look at that verse a little bit later. But as I was pondering this, the question came to me, how important are grandparents? You know, the world values various things. The world values energy and zeal and enthusiasm, excitement, beauty, all things that as you get older you kind of lose. Things that are associated more, maybe more with youth than with age. And as I thought about this too, I also thought about the fact that we gauge our usefulness or our importance by how much we can do. And I think that's very true because as we age, we're not able to do as much. And especially as you become familiar with the aches and pains of aging, your surgeries, and you begin to replace knees and hips and things like that. All those things take a toll, and I'm sure as you get older, the temptation is to feel like, well, I'm not very useful anymore. I can't do what I used to do. But yet, this morning I would say that you as grandparents have an irreplaceable role in the lives of our families. I don't want you to forget that. You have an irreplaceable role in the lives of our families. There are studies that show that grandparents and grandchildren have a measurable effect on each other's well-being. I thought that was interesting. You can actually measure the effect that you have on each other and the well-being of each other. And like I said, in our culture today, older people are just simply, people want to just push them out of the way. Push them off to the side, forget about them. But yet the Bible teaches something quite different. And again, I just want to reemphasize the fact that you as grandparents have play a vital role in God's plan for families. Because I think, you know, there's a sense in which you as grandparents can provide things that nobody else can. And so we conclude that grandparents are important in the lives of families and grandchildren. Someone has said that a grandparent has silver in their hair and gold in their heart. I like that saying. I think that's very true. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 16 for an opening verse. I don't really have a text that I'm going to go off of. I just simply picked out a number of scriptures that I would like to look at. And the first one is in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 31. Where it says, the hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. And again, the hoary head refers to someone who has some age. And again, the Bible places a premium on those who are older. Like we said, it's the opposite of our society because age brings several things. Age brings experience. It brings patience. It brings wisdom. All things that we as younger people often don't have. At least not to that same extent. And that's why I think it says here that the hoary head is a crown of glory. Because you have experience that we don't have, and experience brings wisdom that you can impart to the rest of us if we just take the time to listen. You know, when we're younger, we tend to jump into things without really thinking about them, taking time to think things through. And I think to those of us who are younger, God is calling us to put to value our grandparents, those who are older. It means to listen to their advice instead of looking at them as if they're some kind of fossilized relic from the Stone Age. That's how people look at older people many times. And I fear that at times the attitudes of society have rubbed off on us because, you know, we tend to think that they're so out of touch with reality. And one of the things that I have heard from younger people already is that you, speaking to parents and grandparents maybe, you have no idea what's out there. You have no idea the temptations that we face. And I know that times have changed, things have changed from when I was younger. But yet the principles of God's word will never change. And I would say this morning that we, to you young people, we as parents and grandparents, we know what's out there. Yes, things have changed. The temptations that you face maybe are somewhat different than what I face and what those of us that are older have faced. But yet, when you analyze the temptations that you face, it's the same temptation that we have faced all through history. Yes, things have changed. And the devil comes to us in different ways. But what you young people face is the same thing that your parents and grandparents have faced, the very same things. Like I said, it comes to us in maybe different ways. And so, as we think of our grandparents and the valuable advice that they have for us, don't discard their advice. Don't take the idea or think that they don't know what's out there. They know what's out there. And there's a wealth of wisdom and life experiences that can benefit us. It means that we listen to their stories of life, the lessons that they learned. This verse goes on to say, the hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. And it says, if. And to those of us that are growing older, to those of you that are grandparents, don't expect that when you get to be a grandparent that you will suddenly be a godly person. If you're not living life as a godly person when you're younger. Godly grandparents don't just suddenly become godly because they are older. It's the result of a life that is lived for God. And we know that God can change lives and hearts. But more than likely, if you and I live selfishly when we are younger, we're going to live selfishly when we're older. And I know that I doubt there's any of us that are saying, I can't wait till I'm a grandparent, maybe. But yet, how we live now will determine how we live when we become a grandparent. And so if we have godly grandparents, we are called to honor them. We're called to honor their influence, their heritage, their teachings. In Leviticus 19 and verse 32, it says, thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God. I am the Lord. So we're called to honor those who are older, our grandparents. I have 3 points to my sermon this morning that I'd like to look at quickly. I'd like to look first at the blessing of being a grandparent, then I want to look at the responsibility of grandparents, and then thirdly, leaving a godly legacy. So looking first at the blessing of being a grandparent, I'd like to go now to Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 6, whereas I've taken the title for this message. Proverbs 17 and verse 6 says, children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. Grandchildren, when it refers to children's children, that's referring to grandchildren. And it's saying that grandchildren are the crown of old men, and our sisters as well. Just like a king or a queen that wears a crown, grandchildren can be like beautiful jewels that a grandparent wears. You know, there are those that, you look at the monarchies around the world, they wear diamonds and rubies in their crowns that are worth probably more than what we all own combined. But yet a crown of faithful grandchildren is worth much more than anything like that. And I would say this morning that there are grandchildren who are not a crown to their grandparents, who do not honor them. And that's sad when that happens. But yet it says that grandchildren are a crown. Crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. It's a relationship that flows both ways, I believe. When we as fathers love and cherish our families, then our children can view our parents as a glory. And I know we're human. We fail many times, but yet God wants us to have good relationships with them. There's another translation that says it this way, that parents, the last part of that verse, the glory of children are their fathers, says parents are the pride of their children. And that kind of caught my attention because, children, I'm going to ask you, do you take pride in your parents? Because a lot of times when we're younger, all we can see is their faults. All we can see is their failures. And like I said, we do have faults. We do have failures. But God wants us to take pride in our parents. Maybe you say, well, you don't know my dad. You don't know my mom. And that could be true. But I would just tell you that someday you will be a parent. Someday you will be a grandparent. And you'll probably have many of the same faults as your parents and grandparents. So God wants us to honor and to respect our parents and our grandparents. Let's go now to Psalm chapter 92. Thinking of the blessing of being a grandparent. Psalm chapter 92, verses 12 to 15. He says, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Verse 13, he says that those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. He's using the picture of a tree that is planted. His roots go down deep into the word of God. I think of the verses in Psalm chapter 1 where it says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Again, it's a picture of roots that go deep into the word of God. And if you look at verse 2 of Psalm chapter 1, it talks about him meditating day and night in the Word of God. That's what makes him fruitful. Again, there's another translation in verse 14. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age, and they shall be fat and flourishing. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be full of sap and green. And in the original Hebrew translation, that's basically what it says. They shall be full of sap and green. And you know, when a tree is flowing with sap, there is life there. It will not die as long as the sap is present in the tree. And so being full of sap is just simply saying there is life. And we find that life in the Word of God. It's coming from the connection with the giver of life that we have, one who enables us to bear fruit. And then it says they shall be full of sap and green. The Hebrew word for flourishing here in verse 14 just simply means green. It's luxuriant. It's beautiful. There's life there again. And so I think to bring forth fruit in old age is a result of being anchored in the Word of God. That's the only way it can happen. And that's true whether we're a grandparent or whether we're a child. Spending time daily in the Word of God. So those are some of the blessings of being a grandparent. And I know what I have this morning, there's much more we could talk about, but I'd like to look now at the responsibilities of grandparents. And number one that I have is to live a life that is pleasing to God. And this is true for all of us. We know this. It's nothing new. But I think you as grandparents have a special calling in this regard because there's nothing more powerful that speaks to us as children than grandparents who are serving the Lord in their older years. Your grandchildren are watching you. They're watching to see how that you live. Turn with me now to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, let's just read the first 14 verses. And Paul here is speaking of living after the flesh or living after the Spirit. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Again, Paul is speaking here of the difference of walking after the flesh or walking after the Spirit, the carnal mind or the spiritual mind. And in verse 12, he says, we are debtors, not to the flesh, but we are debtors to God himself, because we have an obligation to God because his Spirit dwells within us. God has given us life. He has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness, and he has the right to require us to spend it in his service. And so if you and I walk according to the flesh, like it says here, there's a reckoning that's going to come someday. Back in Exodus chapter 34, God told them, he said, and the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers unto the children, upon the children, and upon the children's children, unto the third and to the fourth generation. So there is, when we walk after the flesh, there is a reckoning that comes. And it's not just for us, but it will affect us. It will affect our children. It will affect our grandchildren. And even beyond that, he says, to the third and fourth generation. And we often forget, I often forget that my choices do not affect just me, but it's going to affect those that come behind me. And I'm afraid too often we're like Hezekiah. When God pronounced judgment, he said, well, good is the word of the Lord, because in my days there will be peace. He was not concerned about what was going to happen later on. But God says that he will visit the iniquity of the fathers unto the third and to the fourth generation, our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. And again, to you as grandparents, I would just simply say that your grandchildren are watching you closely, and they're learning from what they see. And so I think we need to remember the importance of living a godly life, the power of a life that is lived for the Lord, a life that is selfless, a life that is full of sacrifice, a life that is led by the Spirit of God, a life that is full of the fruits of the Spirit. That's what God is looking for. The second point that I have here in the responsibilities of grandparents is to teach your grandchildren. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Teach your grandchildren. Deuteronomy chapter 4, and I'd like to read the first 10 verses. There's an interesting verse here I'd like to just take a quick look at. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal Peor, for all the men that followed Baal Peor, the Lord thy God, hath destroyed them from among you. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive every one of you this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law, which I set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself, and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, Gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. I think we'll stop reading there. But the Bible gives the command here in verse 9. He says, But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons, your grandchildren. Don't just spoil them. Don't just dote on them. You're not just a babysitter, but you are to teach them. And I'm concerned that sometimes when I see, you know, I know grandparents love to spoil grandchildren, and that's not all wrong. But I'm concerned sometimes when the grandchildren go to grandpa's, it's just one big party. And I know we like to enjoy them and like to have fun with them and so on. But I would just challenge you as grandparents, the way that you relate to your grandchildren can either help us as parents, or you can tear down what we're trying to do, what we're trying to teach them. And back in verse 2, he says, They were commanded to keep the commandments of the Lord your God. And in verse 9, he says, You are to teach them to your sons and to your sons' sons. And so you have a unique opportunity to teach, I think, in ways that can be very effective. And as I look back at my grandparents, I only have one grandparent left anymore. But as I look back at my memories of my grandparents, I don't remember hardly ever them correcting me. Except there's one incident that sticks out in my mind that I've never forgotten, probably never will forget. We went to visit my grandparents. They used to live in Washington, D.C. Some of you may be familiar with the Fellowship Haven Church that was established as a mission church there. They lived there for many years. And we would go to visit them once or twice a year, especially over Christmas. We would always go to see them. And my grandpa was a good man. I love it. He took me with him everywhere he went. And when he would go, he had a cabinet shop. When he would go work at his cabinet shop, he would take me with him. But I remember one evening. I don't remember what the situation was. I don't remember what happened. Something happened to upset me when we were there visiting Grandpa's. And I remember that evening sitting on the couch. I wouldn't talk to anybody. I just sat there with my head down. I wasn't talking with anybody. I don't remember what it was that upset me. But I just, you know, as parents, you hesitate to discipline your children in front of other people, and my dad didn't really do anything. But I remember the next morning, Grandpa got ready to go somewhere, and I just expected I was going to go with him, because he always took me with him everywhere. And he said, Keith, he said, you're not going to go with me. He said, because the way you were acting last evening, he said, I'm not going to take you with me. You got to stay here. I've never forgotten that. He was very kind about it, but he didn't let me go with him. And like I said, I've never forgotten that incident. I don't remember a lot of other times. Probably were times that they did, but that incident has stuck in my mind all these years. You as grandparents have that opportunity that you can help and you can teach your grandchildren. Let's go to Psalm chapter 78. First seven verses. Psalm chapter 78, verse 1. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Do you see the responsibility that you have as grandparents. God is saying here, you have a responsibility to teach your grandchildren, and I would just encourage you to be intentional about teaching your grandchildren. So we, in verse 4, he says, we will not hide them from our children. We not only have this command to teach our children, but yet we also have this multi-generational vision that instructs us on how God wants us to think as grandparents. And like so many other things, if we are not intentional about what we do, things just kind of happen haphazardly. That's the way it is in my life. And we miss opportunities that we could use. So how far does your vision go? Does it go just to your children, just to your grandchildren? This speaks about at least four generations here. It even mentions the children which should be born, those who are not even born yet. Does your vision extend to that? Grandparents, you need to be aware of the power of your influence. You have a bond with your grandchildren, especially when they are young. You can just give them that unconditional love and spend time with them. And you can do things with them. I think in a sense, grandparents are called to be disciple makers. God is calling you to teach your grandchildren. You know, the world has the idea that when you get older, now's the time to travel. Now's the time to do what you've always wanted to do. And maybe there's a place for some of that. But yet, God is calling you to much, much more than that. God is calling you to have a spiritual impact on your grandchildren. And I would say this, if you want to spoil your grandchildren, spoil them, give them something that will not spoil. Give them the Word of God. Give them the gospel. My last point is leaving a godly legacy. How can you as grandparents, and this is true for all of us as well, but how can you leave a godly legacy? Proverbs 13, verse 22 says, a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. So in other words, a good man leaveth an inheritance to his grandchildren. And I would say this inheritance is not a financial one. I don't know what Solomon had in mind when he wrote that. But I think the inheritance that you leave, the legacy that you leave, is a godly one. Someone has said that the greatest legacy one can pass on to one's grandchildren is not money or other material things accumulated in one's life, but rather a legacy of character and faith. And I think there's much truth in that. And so the first thing that I have here under leaving a godly legacy is to pray. Sometimes we hear the statement, well, the least we can do is pray. I would say this morning, that's the most you can do. It's not just the least we can do. It's the most you can do is to pray. And I want to encourage you to be instant in prayer. In Romans chapter 12, verse 12, he says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Persevering, to me, that speaks of persevering in prayer. And you know how it is. When we pray and we pray and we don't see the results that we think we should see, we're tempted just to give up. But Paul says here, be instant. Persevere. Don't quit. Don't give up. How often should we pray? Well, the Bible gives us numerous examples. I think David said that he prayed 7 times a day. Daniel prayed 3 times a day. But Paul in another place says, pray without ceasing. Be in an attitude of prayer. In Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2, he says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Continue, which simply means to be earnest, persevere, to be constantly diligent. In that same chapter, later towards the end of the chapter, Paul talks about Epaphras, and it says that he was laboring fervently for you in prayer. That's what we need from you as grandparents, to labor fervently in prayer for us. Because any of us who are parents know that parenting is probably the most difficult job that there is. And so we need your prayers. There's so many things you can pray for, that God would give us wisdom. You can pray for your grandchildren, the challenges that they face. You know, they come to school. They have challenges there. just the issues that they face in growing up. It's hard. It's difficult. Pray for their marriage partners. Pray for their spiritual growth. Pray that they would not just stay in one place, but that they would grow. The Bible says about Jesus as a young boy, it says that he grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Pray for that. Pray for that for your grandchildren. Second point that I have is to tell stories. You may wonder, well, what does this have to do with being a grandparent? Let's go to Psalm chapter 145. Tell stories. I think this is an area that we tend to be very weak in. But Psalm 145, the first five verses, he says, I will extol thee, my God, O King. I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation, here's what I want you to notice, shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. That is your responsibility. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. You know, I wonder sometimes if one reason we're a little bit weak in this is because we've been taught not to talk about ourselves. And that's not all bad. We know we shouldn't talk about ourselves too much. But grandparents, you are in a position to be able to tell the next generation what God has done for you. We need to hear that. You've lived longer than the rest of us. And you're now at the stage where you can tell others about it. And we all need to do that. But you especially, I think, have a unique opportunity with your grandchildren to tell them. And I wonder sometimes if we have just simply failed to declare the mighty acts of God, to praise the works of God to the next generation. I thought of the verses in 2 Timothy chapter 3 where Paul was writing to Timothy and he said, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. From a child. Well, if you go back to chapter 1 and verse 5, Paul makes mention of his family. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and then in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. And I guess we can only speculate on the role that his grandmother Lois played in his life. But apparently there was something there because Paul mentions her. Did she tell him about coming to faith in Christ Jesus? Did she tell him about the struggles that she faced in serving the Lord? The joys of serving the Lord, the peace that she experienced in surrendering to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Did she maybe tell him about those things? I guess we'll never know. But I just want to challenge you to tell your grandchildren your experiences. Tell them. And I think the school children still do this in the upper room. You still write a biography of someone. I think that is a very, very, very valuable experience because you're hearing someone's life experiences, you're hearing what God has done for them, and you're putting it all down on paper. I think that is so valuable. But tell them how God has met your need. Tell them about the struggles of your life. Tell them about the good times, the hard times. Maybe the funny things that have happened to you. Your grandchildren like to hear those. How you came through hardships. In Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 7, he says, remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father. Young people, that's your responsibility. Ask your father. Ask your grandfather, your grandmother. And he will show thee, thy elders, and they will tell thee. And so we have a responsibility to ask. But then we as fathers and grandparents, fathers and mothers, grandparents in turn, have a responsibility to tell them. And there's two things that can happen when we tell them. They can see where we have done right, and so they can emulate that. And they can also see where we've done wrong, and they don't want to follow that. So you, grandparents, you have that unique opportunity with your grandchildren. And so, in conclusion, to you as grandparents, never underestimate the power of your influence. You might feel that you can't do just a whole lot, but your time, your love, and your prayers can do so much. And to us who are younger, children, grandchildren, take the time, take the opportunity to listen to your grandparents, because they are a vital aspect of passing on the faith. Not everyone has the blessing of godly grandparents. I'm thankful that I did. Like I said, most of my grandparents are gone. And for some of us, we don't have our grandparents anymore. Some of us still do. And if you do, take the time to appreciate them. Bless them for what they have done.